Last week I spoke about apostasy and introduction. That's what it was, just an introduction to apostasy. This morning I will begin speaking about apostasy too close to home. Too close to home. This is one message that will have to then remain incomplete because I don't want you to practice it when you go home.
There you go.
And then what they say, I get what, you know, a message is not complete unless it's put in, until it's put into practice. Well, you don't, I don't want you putting this one into practice. You know, I don't want you to be an apostate. I don't want you to fall away. Habit be that as it may. You got to have just a little levity every once in a while, because if you don't, you'll, well, I say you. If I didn't, I'm afraid I'd begin to lose my mind and I'd go off a deep edge with people. Because sometimes people make me very angry.
Yeah.
And I know what I'm capable of when I'm angry.
Exactly.
Now remember, concerning apostasy, we, through Jude and Peter both, are given a full description of apostasy. We have two witnesses, that is, one's Peter and one is Jude, who together give us a total of seven examples of apostasy. Seven is in Scripture a number of completeness or fullness. So we have a full or complete description of apostasy. And I'll mention those again, but again, I'll mention those again in a moment, but again, let me point out that the problem with this, even though we have these seven prime examples of the grave nature of apostasy, the problem is that an apostate falls away.
Yes.
But a believer can also fall.
That's true.
And they are both the same in the beginning.
Yeah.
They just do not extend. One does not extend as far as the other. For instance, some apostates, according to Peter, deny the Lord, right? Isn't that what it says? Chapter 2, verse 1, the middle part, even denying the Lord that bought them. Now, who's writing this? Peter. What did Peter do? He denied the Lord, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
You see? So it's not, this is not some simple formula then, that if we see someone do this or that, an apostate. Maybe. Maybe not. That's the trouble. That's the problem. That's the rub. Now these prime examples again are this. The angels that sinned, the old world, Sodom and Gomorrah, Balaam, Cain, Korah, and them that believed not after having been delivered from Egypt.
Yes.
Those are the seven prime examples of apostasy. They are the epitome. In other words, apostasy is this. Here's what it's recognized by. Here's how it's recognized. Remember that when we look at the angels that sin, this indicates to us that apostasy can spring out of nowhere. It can just spring up. And that's the thing about, we must always beware. And I'm not, well, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but it does matter. We say, we might think, well, here we have the truth. We stand for the truth, and we openly, outwardly preach the truth, right? And I think that everything that's said and done is said forthright without trying to hide anything or deceive anyone. This is what we believe. Here's how what we feel the book says. This is the way it is. Now, if you believe that, you're with us. If you don't, you're not. And it's pretty much that simple.
Yeah.
Simple and straightforward. We're not trying to induce a following. Okay? We're trying to preach Christ, His gospel, and those things associated with His gospel. That's what we're trying to do. But even though this is true, and this is a place where the truth is being straightforwardly set forth, that doesn't mean that apostasy cannot spring up. Because it sprung up among who? The angels.
Yes, sir.
Right? the angels. It says the angels that left their first estate. And then secondly, the old world. Remember, what does that show us? It shows us that conscience should never be our guide.
Yeah.
This cannot be wrong because I don't feel it's wrong.
Yeah.
I don't feel guilty about this. That's not the point.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
That's not the point. I mean, two things could be in play here, one of two, or maybe both. One could be ignorance. You just don't know any better.
Yeah.
You know? But remember that even before there was a law, man sinned on this earth, and God destroyed man by flood. And there was no written down law, was there? There was no thou shalt nots, was there? But yet God punished these people. So again, conscience is not a guide, because you may be ignorant or you may have a conscience that's seared with a hot iron. It cannot feel guilt. It doesn't know guilt. And then we have third, Sodom and Gomorrah. That is a revolt against the natural order. And this is ordained of God now. We're not talking about a revolt against nature. That's not what I said. It's a revolt against the natural order of God. And I think that's quite evident in Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
Peter calls it ungodliness.
Yes, sir.
Fourthly, we have Balaam. What is Balaam? Balaam is, I want the bucks.
Yes, sir.
No matter what. I want the money. I want the money. And if I can get it, even though it means causing God's people to bring upon themselves the chastening judgment of God, I'll do it for the money. That's Balaam. He liked the wages of unrighteousness, it said. And fifthly, we have Cain. Cain was the first apostate. Now, I didn't give the example. Peter and Jude both give, or Jude gives, rather, Jude gives Cain as the example. And Cain, what is manifested is in Cain, again, is what? Hatred for others who are right.
Yeah.
I mean, the apostate comes to a place to where they begin to hate those who are right. It may not begin that way. I mean, we're not told of any great conflict between Cain and Abel for years, were we? But what happens? All of a sudden, the right way stands out, and God accepts it, and the wrong way is put down, and God rejects it. And Cain, the Cains of this world, stand up and say, I will not have it so.
Exactly.
And it could come that they would physically harm God's people. It's an apostate, hatred for others who are right. And sixthly was Korah. It is the rejection of authority. And that's what Peter says in verse 10, but chiefly them. This is a prime example. This is one of the things that rises up above other things. Verse 10 of 2 Peter 2, it says, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. They don't want anybody telling them what they ought to do.
Exactly.
That's what it boils down to. And I mentioned several places of authority that men reject. And seventhly, them that believe not after being delivered from Egypt. That is unbelief in spite of past experience.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
Now remember, there were many Jews that went out of Egypt that did not believe God.
That's
right?
Exactly.
And they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness in unbelief. But being associated with those who did believe, they experienced the blessings, the same blessings that the believers did.
Yes, sir.
But all the while complaining. And look, you go back and read that. There's this group that every time you turn around, there's this group stand up and what? Murmuring. Complaining. Things are not going our way. This is not pleasant. This is not nice. Unbelief in spite of past experience. These people were delivered from 400 years of bondage by 10 great miracles. And then, just a few days later, after they are freed from Egyptian bondage, they walk dry shod through the Red Sea.
Yes, sir.
To see their enemies drowned behind them.
Yes, sir.
And they still cannot believe.
Exactly.
What do? Start murmuring and complaining. It's amazing. But that's apostasy.
Yes, sir.
That's apostasy. Now again, I say these are prime examples of the grave nature of apostasy. But what we've got to remember is apostasy is not some aberration of a bygone age. It's not something, well, that's what happened back yonder. See, the apostates were back yonder. Apostasy was really bad back then. The truth is, it's gotten worse. That's the whole thing. It's gotten worse. Apostasy is not some aberration of a bygone age, nor is apostasy something relegated to the ignorant heathen. There is no apostasy among the ignorant heathen. They're just ignorant heathen.
That's it, exactly.
Seriously now. Apostasy is when you know the truth, have given some profession of the truth, and then what? Divorce yourself from it. That's what the word fall away means. To divorce it. You divorce the truth. I'll not have it anymore. I'm breaking away from the truth. So again, you know, the ignorant heathen, the unbelievers of this world are just that. They're unbelievers.
Yes.
Apostates are those who have professed the truth. Then they turn from it. And it's summed up, and not, I won't get ahead of myself there, but it's summed up that their latter state is worse than their first.
Amen.
Now somebody said, what's that mean? It's going to be hotter in hell for some than others? I don't know, but it's worse.
Yes, sir.
Take God's word for it.
Yeah.
It would have been better, Peter says, for them not to even have known the way of truth.
Amen.
To remain an ignorant, unbelieving heathen. Than to have come to know the truth and turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them.
Exactly.
It is true, our Lord says some men shall have greater condemnation than others, right?
Yes,
didn't He say that? What that means, what the depth of that is, I do not know, but it will be greater.
Yep.
Now, I don't preach this message hoping to keep a possible apostate from being one. Because the apostate error won.
Exactly.
And we'll show it.
Yes, sir.
At some time or another. And I'm not preaching this in hopes that through thinking that through this preaching, somehow the elect will be spared from apostasy. Because the elect shall be spared from apostasy.
Amen.
But the elect may not necessarily be spared from falling.
Exactly.
Right? May not necessarily be spared from falling. So again, let me say it again. Apostasy is not some aberration of some bygone time. Apostasy is not out yonder. It happens here.
Yeah.
Right?
That's it.
That's where apostasy takes place. Amidst the truth. Okay? That's the... As I said, too close for comfort. That's the danger, the scary part of apostasy. Now, you know, remember, Peter says, 2 Peter chapter 2, the first part of verse 1, there were false prophets among the people. There'll be false teachers in the world. Is that what he says? Uh-uh. Among you. Now, there are false teachers all over the place. There are false teachers in the world, right? But the problem is, there are going to be false teachers among you.
That's it.
He said, even as there shall be false teachers among you who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction.
Yes.
And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of.
Amen.
and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of who? You.
Right.
They can hurt God's people.
Yes, sir.
That's the problem. If it were just they go into apostasy and are gone, so be it.
Yes, sir.
There's two problems, two things that are the rub here with this. One, they affect God's people. Apostasy can affect the elect.
Yes, sir.
According to Peter, as he sums it up, it could cause us to fall from our own steadfastness if we're led away with the error of the wicked. But two, the other problem is that apostate may be one of your own family members. It may be somebody you care about.
Yeah.
And therein lies the rub too. You know, if it was a stranger that showed up off the street, that's one thing, right? But when daddy does it, or son does it, or whatever, right? That's a little different, isn't it? That's a little different. No, according to him, he said, they shall make merchandise of you. They'll use God's people for whatever reason, whatever gain they're after.
Yeah.
The vile nature of apostasy is that it exists in the midst of truth. You know, there are assemblies out here that are under apostate influence. Because at one time, that assembly, or say like a group of assemblies, like an association or whatever, at one time that association or that group of local churches, or a local church in particular, at one time that church may have had the truth, known the truth, preached the truth, but over a matter of time, Mason, they've fallen away from it. They've divorced themselves from the truth. Now that assembly as an assembly, okay, as an assembly now, is under nothing but apostate doctrine.
Yes, sir.
But there may well be people who are born into that assembly that know nothing and have known nothing of the truth. They may not be apostates, right? They may just be unbelievers. And you know what? Here you have an unbeliever who may hold the apostate doctrine, and God will save him. God can save like that. I was in that kind of place. I was in that place. I preached apostate doctrine. But Mason, that didn't make me an apostate, because I'd never known the truth. And there is a difference. But there are some, I'm not saying of individuals at that place then, but there was a time when that assembly I was a member of had the truth. Well, I've got the booklets to prove it. So at some time or another, that fellowship of assemblies did what? They began to divorce themselves. They began the proceedings.
Yes,
they called out the doctors and the lawyers, and they began the proceedings of divorcing themselves from the truth of God. And it is an apostate assembly.
Yes, sir.
But that doesn't mean every individual there is an apostate. You see, the problem is apostasy shows itself in the midst of truth.
Yes.
That's the danger. Look, what is it? Let me find the right verse. Yeah, verse 13. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast. What's that say? With you.
Yes, sir.
Right? See, while they're here with us, they're sitting there thinking about the fun they had last week and what they're going to do this coming week. And everything that they can lay their hands on to enjoy themselves in this world. That's what that's saying.
Yep.
And they're doing this while they're sitting there. Peter or Jude calls it the love feast. The time when they got together as the family of God to eat together.
Yep.
And to fellowship together. And them folks were sitting right there eating with them.
Yes, sir.
Jude calls them filthy dreamers. Now that's not somebody that goes to sleep and has a dream that is untoward. That's not what that means. It means people who sit back and while the truth's being preached, they're set back and dreaming of filthy things to engage themselves in. That's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Unstable souls.
Yes.
That's what Scripture calls them. Now look at it. It's not out there. The problem is it arises up in here. You know? Verse 10, let's just read those few verses. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh, in the lust of uncleanness. Presumptuous are they. Well, I missed that. And despise government, right? That's the whole thing. They despise authority. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. I'm going to tell you, self-will is dead wrong.
Exactly.
It is even as Christ expressed it. Not my will, but thy will be done.
Amen.
Now, if he says that, how much more ought we to follow after that?
Amen.
Huh?
That's it.
Because he was never against the Father's will. We all too often are.
Yes.
Self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. This ain't talking about speaking evil of politicians. This is dignity. People who are in high places in authority. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, you see, in other words, even angels don't do that.
Yeah.
What they do. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed. And they will be one day. Right? It says, whose destruction lingereth, slumbereth not. Made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. And they shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they count it pleasure to party in the daytime. That's what that means. That's what it means to riot, to revel, to sport. To weaken the mind or body by indulgence. And a prime example of that is to get drunk. Right? It's a prime example of that. They love to party. They count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Peter's not saying it's all right to riot at night. You ought to limit it to night. The problem is, this is how they are. They go even overboard in that.
Right?
They count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes. What do you mean? In other words, these are people. It ends up in debauchery. That's where it ends up at. That's where it ends up at. Don't you kid yourself. Let none of us kid ourselves. The party joints and the bars and the nightclubs are not filled with this world's decent folk. They are not. That's not the place to go to look for a husband or a wife. Believe you me. Sadly, most churches ain't the place to go look for one either. And somebody says, well, where do you find one? God, only God knows. Only God knows. No, spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with you with their own deceivings while they feast with you. What are their spots? A disgrace. A moral blemish. Now, again, somebody says, oh, but everybody has their moral blemish. Yeah, but not everybody's an apostate.
Exactly.
Some people are under grace, and some people know it's wrong.
Yeah.
And even when they do it, they say it's wrong, and it's not to be done again. What's the apostate say? This feels good. I enjoy this, and I'll do it as much as I possibly can.
Yeah.
That's what the apostate says. Then is the apostate, is he out here laying in the ditch drunk? No, he's standing behind desks just like this. He's sitting in seats just like those, or probably a whole lot better in most places. Sitting in the padded pews.
Yes, sir.
Sitting on the deacon's bench, teaching the Sunday school. Sitting in the Sunday school. That's where they're at. Spots of their disgraces, moral blemishes, sporting themselves. They take much pleasure. Now, you know what? This is the party crowd.
Yeah.
And you don't have to have alcohol around to be one. It don't take alcohol to be a partier. These are people who've got to somehow have some kind of fleshly pleasure in this life. Got to have parties. You understand what I'm saying? You know what God's people do? They get up in the morning, they go to work. They try to do their job to the glory and the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. They come home and hope to spend time with their family, eat with their family, do something with their family. They go to bed, they get up the next morning, what do? They go to work. Yeah. And they do the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over. Is there an occasion here and there when God allows them to enjoy a few things in this world? Yes. But that's not the way of their life. You know, a lot of people say, life's just not simple anymore. No, it's because of our fleshly lust. Got to have it. Got to enjoy it. And what's sad is there are people, and maybe they may not even be apostates. That's not the point. The problem is they could come here and find no joy. Yeah. I mean, this would be so dull. Just a waste of time. But boy, let them have a cookout now. Yeah. Huh? And all their friends and buddies over. We can have fun and do things. Huh? Right? That's right. That's their life. The life of God's people is centered around what? What? Christ. Now, it's not the church, because God could take that, this, the local assembly, God can take that away from you. You know that He can. That's happened to some of God's people. God's providence has put them under times and circumstances and situations where a local assembly could not take place. But one thing He will not take away from His elect, and that's Christ. And even if you wind up by yourself, you'll still have one friend. That's Christ. And if that's not what you're constantly thinking of and desiring to think of and desiring to please Him and to honor Him and to serve Him, you need to make your calling and election sure. Yeah. Do one or the other. Either put the foot forward and serve Him to the best of your ability, or be honest and say, I don't care for this. I don't believe it. I'm done with it. Quit playing games amongst God's people. But yet people continue to do that until they can't stand it no more. And then you know what happens? They go out in a rage.
Oh, yeah.
And that tears things apart even worse than if they just said, no, I'm not a part of this. You know that? They can't be honest about anything.
Yeah.
Got to start trouble. Got to fly into some madness. Got to be vengeful against somebody. Got to hurt somebody in the process. When all along, here you've got just a local assembly that's trying to believe God and serve Christ.
Yes, sir.
Apostasy and rebellion against God is a sad situation. You know that? Because apostasy has enjoyed the benefits of grace. I didn't say enjoyed or had grace itself, but they've enjoyed, apostasy has enjoyed many of the benefits of grace. And this is what Peter goes on to say. He says in verse 19, speaking of the false teacher, about these people who will follow them.
Yeah.
Verse 19, he says, while they promise them liberty, I'm going to set you. You say, you'll be set free. You do what I tell you, you'll be set free.
Yeah.
And what are they? Are set free. They're set free to serve the flesh. I think it's Jude, maybe Peter. One of them says they turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. This is all right because I'm under grace. When grace teaches you, I'm under grace. And that's still not all right. If it's wrong, it's wrong. It's a sin. Right? Any kind of grace that gives you license to sin is not the grace of God. It's grace turned into lasciviousness. Sadly, even some of God's people have to learn this the hard way. I've been there, folks. I've allowed that extra little thing just trying to hold on to something hoping things wouldn't fly apart. Mason, just allow a little bit. Try to keep your hand on it so it don't get away from you. And you know what? It still flies apart on you. So bless God, folks. Let it go.
Yes.
Don't be a part of it. Let it go. Get your hands off of it right now. Because if it's going to blow apart, it's going to blow apart whether you got a hold of it or not.
Yeah.
Now look what he says. Well, he promised them liberty. They themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage.
Amen.
For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, what's he talking about? Uncleanness, unrighteousness, ungodliness, immoral ways. That's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
False doctrines. Now, apostasy has many eyes. There's turning away from true doctrine. There's turning away from proper teaching. There's the apostasy of immorality. There's apostasy there too. A person may hold to the doctrines of grace, but be a moral apostate. Okay? You know, they can believe grace, grace, believe grace, but what do they practice? Flesh. Right? Lust. Uncleanness. Of whom the same is brought into bondage. For if after they escape the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and what? And overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Now the beginning, not the second state, but where they were in their original lost state.
Yes, sir.
It's worse than that. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it's happened to them.
Yes, sir.
According to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again. That's a pretty nasty description, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
But that's the problem. That's the description of apostate action.
Yes, sir.
The dog's turned to his own vomit. And the sow that was washed, what's she do? Turns back to the wallowing in the mire.
Amen.
Now, some I've heard some men say wallowing in the mud. That don't say wallowing in the mud. It says wallowing in the mire. The hog relieves itself in the same mud it's wallowing in. It's not just a mud hole. It's a septic tank.
Yeah.
Huh? They go back to that.
Yes, sir.
They go back to that. Now you say, can a believer go back to that? Yeah. But they can't be overcome by it. Because every son God receives, what's he do? When they go out of line, what's he do? He corrects them. Now our English word is translated for us chastening. And sometimes we think of that merely as a whooping. That may be part of it, but that's not the whole word. It's more correction. He corrects every son he receives.
Yes, sir.
They won't stay there. Now somebody said they won't stay there too long. No, they'll stay there as long as God leaves them there.
Yeah.
And then God will pull them out when he's ready.
Yes, sir.
That's why this apostasy thing's so hard. It'd be easy if something to start happening. So, there's one, mark them off. Right? Can't do that, can you? Huh? Because you've got to beware lest you try to mark off one of God's. God might mark off you. You know what I'm saying? The problem is, though, it does happen. Apostates do arise. And as I said, there is, you know, there's this societal influence established under apostasy. Our society is an apostate society. And there are cultural influences established under apostasy. I know of no culture that's established under truth. Do you? Not a one. The only thing that's established under truth is the church.
Yes, sir.
Of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the ground and pillar of the truth. Isn't that what Paul says to Timothy? And time is now provided for whole apostate assemblies and denominations. Now remember when Peter, John, Jude, all these men were writing, there were no apostate assemblies. Right? I mean, in the beginning, every assembly was one established by Jesus Christ. But what happened? Apostasy then began to creep in, right?
Yes, sir.
And as time went on, then some assemblies did what? Fell away. Went into apostasy. Now, after this long period of time has come, there are whole assemblies, whole fellowships, whole denominations that are under the influence of apostasy. You see, a person may be under the sound of the gospel of Christ and yet be influenced by these sources, right? We got to go out there and live in this world. God tells us to. That's where we go and make our money at to pay our bills, right? Providence is called upon us not to be, even Christ prayed, not that we be taken out of the world, but we be kept from the evil, right?
Yes.
But we can be affected by these influences. And Peter warns us, and let me just read that. He says, verse 17 of 2 Peter 3, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." But what? But what? What's the alternative? But grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. You know, if Christ is constantly on your lips, there won't be too many folks trying to get you to go do things with them you shouldn't be doing with them. You know that? I'm serious. If Christ is constantly on your lips, they ain't going to want you around with them when they're doing what they're doing.
Exactly.
Hmm? I mean, if you're thinking about Christ, talking about Christ, enjoy Christ, they ain't going to want you around. Why? Because they don't love Christ.
Exactly.
That's why. Now, I can be around some folks as duty and responsibility demand. I can put up with a whole lot. And I'll do it by God's grace. David, I'll go to work every day and I'll put up with rank unbelief or even apostasy. You have to hear it. Listen to it all the time. And I put up with it and I do, by God's grace, I do that and I do my job not as a man pleaser but as unto the Lord. But bless God, when I get off of work, I don't have to go out and spend my time with them. I mean, some of them know I got a motorcycle. Come on, ride with us. And I say, no, I can't. That's right. Come on, go ride. And I'm sure they have fun. I can have more fun by myself. Because the only time I'm going to be having fun is while we're riding and I don't have to talk to them. When we stop and I got to talk to them, then the fun quits. I mean, you got to stop and get gas or eat sometime or another. Now, folks, I'm not preaching that, oh, that's what the Bible says I got to do. That's who I am. You know? You got to put up with the world enough under God's providence. I'm not complaining about that. Let alone to have to do it when you have time to spend with your family. Huh? I wish to God I'd have seen this as it ought to be seen a long time ago. I wish. But you bow down to God and you try to warn others. Watch out. Lest it happen to you. Father, I pray as we part ways, we may think of Christ and think of one another. Give us comfort in the truth of the person and work of thy Son. I ask it in His name. Amen.